T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Well, hello, hello. It is WTIC. It is us together. It is the way it should be every single day of the week, except we need rest. Producer Mike is here. He's uninspired so far, so if you want to see if you can call in and get him juiced up a little bit, feel free to do that. But kicking off the show today is Michael Leibowitz live from prison. Hello there, Michael. Oh, why do I forget to push the button sometimes? Hello there, Michael.
Hello there, Todd. You have very catchy intro music. I really enjoy it.
Yes, I pick it out carefully and then watch over Mike to make sure he plays the right stuff.
That's good. Well, greetings from quarantine heaven here at Osborne.
Yeah, tell us what the last couple of weeks have been like.
Okay, so we had been on a virtual lockdown. What I mean by virtual lockdown was we would come out of our cells 45 minutes a day, 15 minutes for a shower, and 2 15-minute phone calls. Then last week, they implemented testing in the prison here. And out of the first 300, and I want to say 39, but don't quote me on that number, but 300 and something, 105 people came back positive. So the whole facility went into total lockdown. Then they started to allow us to make one 15-minute call a day. According to the correctional officers I spoke to, there were two of them, the CDC came here and inspected the shower rooms and determined that they were a health hazard due to steam, something to do with the steam in the showers would carry the virus. So they came up with a genius solution to have us go outside and shower. The problem with having a shower outside is this. In my block, there's 18 shower heads in 3 shower rooms. That's for 200 people. Outside, there's 5 showers, which would now be for 1,000 people. And by the way, the showers are ice cold.
Okay, so there are existing showers outside.
Yes.
But they're way less than what you currently have for capacity, and
yes,
it's just cold water. Okay.
So that policy would have resulted in maybe a shower a week, and even that's a stretch. It took 4 days just to do my block.
Okay.
So the other morning, Thursday morning, I spoke to the deputy warden as he was walking around, and he said that they were trying to get us to be able to shower inside. And their solution was that they were going to clean the shower after each use. Now, I'm no epidemiologist, I'm not a scientist, but it doesn't seem to me that cleaning the showers would have anything to do with the steam content in the showers. And if it did, then it seems they would have come up with that solution right away. Nonetheless, they started implementing, now we're showering again. Every other day we'll be showering inside in the showers. Now, here's what's funny, Todd. There are 3
yep.
tiers in this block. Each tier has a shower room. Each shower room has 6 shower heads.
Mm-hmm.
We're allowed to shower on the bottom tier and the top tier. We're not allowed to shower on the middle tier. And it just so happens that the officer station is on the middle tier. So the conclusion that a lot of the inmates are drawing, and it seems a logical one to me, is they don't want to be exposed to the steam coming through the shower windows.
Because the steam could be carrying the virus.
Yes. So, you know, that's the compassion crowd for you. Now, the thing is this. I'm willing to take the risk. I really don't care. I'm not really afraid of this virus. I mean, not that I can't get it, not that it's not deadly, but I'm young, and I think I'll be okay. And in life, you have to make decisions where there's trade-offs. I choose to be clean and risk the virus. What upsets me, however, is the statements that we hear publicly from the Department of Correction when, for instance, Commissioner Cook says that if the 105 asymptomatic people that were tested positive end up getting symptoms, they're perfectly prepared to treat them. Excuse me, sir? I mean, I've been on your show now for months exposing the holes in what these people are doing. They're outright recklessness. Everything from not abiding by social distancing and not wearing masks to taking a block off quarantine when somebody was positive in that block. So for him to say that they're prepared is laughable. And I actually wrote an open letter to Commissioner Cook, and I'll just tell you, the ending of it was I said to him that instead of you guys patting yourselves on the back so frequently, perhaps you should confess your past errors and admit you have no clue what you're doing going forward. Because they simply don't seem to be capable of handling this. They've also made the claim, Karen Martucci made the claim, she's the spokesperson from the DOC, that anybody that refused to be tested would be treated as if they were positive. Well, in this facility, according to the news, there were 400 inmates that refused to be tested. Logistically, how could they have handled that and treated them all as if they were positive? And as far as I know, there's still people in my block that haven't been tested who are still allowed.
Well, maybe what she meant by that she would, that they would continue to treat them as if they were infected with the virus if they refused to test. Maybe what she means by that is that anybody who is positive with COVID gets treated just like any other prisoner and mixes in the regular population.
No, they were all transferred out, Todd.
Oh, they were.
People tested positive were transferred out of the block and put somewhere. I don't know where they, originally they were all going to Northern, but I don't know where they went now. But they were transferred out of the block. But the people that didn't.
Okay, so if, so, wait a second, if somebody's in your block.
Yes.
On that day.
Yes.
Right, they're living with you every minute until that moment. They get the test results back. They're positive.
Yes.
So they've been with you for at least a couple of days while the test is being done or whatever.
Yes.
While they're positive.
Well, the test,
and then
about 2 hours, Todd, to test everybody.
Okay. So what do they do with everybody else who's been exposed to the virus at the moment when that person gets tested and it comes back positive or they refuse?
Well, we're all still here. But, the bulk of us, especially my block, happen to be very low. I think only 3 people tested positive. So compared to the rest of the jail, that actually is very good.
Yes, but in terms of principles, it's just important for everybody to understand how little regard they have for anything having to do with the virus, thus danger in the prisons to themselves and to prisoners, is that they leave people there who they have good reason to believe could be carriers of the virus because they've been living with people who are carrying the virus. That's all.
Sure. And the thing is, Todd, it just doesn't seem to me that it's sustainable. So, I mean, just think about this, Todd. People out in the world are going absolutely crazy because they can't get their hair cut. These are responsible, rational people that can't stand being confined in that way. Now, in here, you have the most irrational people on the planet, and we're being held to anywhere from 15 minutes to a half hour a day out of our cage where we're able to shower now on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And the virus doesn't seem to be going away. I heard this morning that they're expecting a surge in August and then maybe a second wave in the winter. And it's just not sustainable to keep us under these conditions for that long. And I don't know what they're going to do or what their solution is, but I don't hear anything coming from them other than they're fully prepared, except for the officers who are saying how they're the victims because they haven't been given PPE, even though when they had masks, they weren't wearing them, and they failed to practice social distancing. But I ultimately have a question I'd like to ask your audience. Is that okay?
Okay. Sure. You've got to go, though.
I do have to go in a minute. My question is this. Given what I've just told you about us being locked down from anywhere from 23 and a half to 23 and 45 minutes a day, 23 hours, 45 minutes a day, with 3 showers a week, and there's no end in sight, does the public think that this is acceptable simply because we're prisoners?
Okay, which part do you think they would object to?
Yeah, because if the public thinks it's okay, then we're doomed. We have no hope. So I would really like to know that. And with that, Todd, I'll let you get to your show, and I'm going to go in my cage and listen to it. Thanks a lot.
Michael Leibowitz, thank you, sir. we'll talk to you again soon.
All right.
Well, hopefully we'll talk to you again soon because we never know. And we haven't been talking to Michael much lately because he has been on lockdown. So normally he's got time out of the cage, as he puts it, every day to for a chunk of time. I forget what it is, 3 hours or something. And that includes time to make phone calls and take a shower and stuff like that. So it's a much more rushed schedule. He doesn't have time to call us and do interviews anymore. Anyway, your reaction to Michael's question, if you would. Do you care about what he just described? Does it matter to you about prisoners and how they're treated? Does it matter at all, or is it just to you, they're prisoners, they committed crimes, they're there because they earned it. Who cares if they suffer? 860-522-9842. It's an interesting thing to get your opinions on. And then I wanted to run this Joe Biden thing. We didn't get to talk to it about it yesterday, but Joe Biden, this isn't unique to him, but he's uniquely positioned to make these kinds of mistakes as a candidate for president, which is delightfully Joe. So in case you haven't heard this, here you go.
It don't have nothing to do with Trump. It has to do with the fact I want something for my community. I would love to see
you. Take a look at my record, man. I extended the voting rights.
So that's the guy he's doing an interview with. And this is what he says during the interview. I wanted to provide that context to be fair to Joe. Because Joe wasn't just talking in what Democrats call racist terms, using racist suggestions, as Democrats would call it, just because he's Joe Biden, but also he was doing a radio show or, I don't know, a streaming video thing with a guy who was talking in street talk, you know, urban talk, and he was repeating it.
You got more questions, but I tell you, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, then you ain't black.
Then you ain't black. Now, I don't know how often Joe Biden uses the word ain't, but I assume he doesn't use it very often. I assume he's using it just because, like Hillary Clinton, you remember the old Hillary Clinton sound when she was speaking at a, I don't know, religious thing? She was at a black church maybe or funeral or something like that. Remember, you ain't no ways tired, something like that? It's a normal thing for Democrats to pander in grotesque terms because they're Democrats and they feel they have to demonstrate their powerful affinity for the people they apparently have very little respect for. Because if you respect people, you don't need to imitate their talk or pretend you know how to imitate their talk. You just let them talk the way they talk. You talk the way you talk. I think it's kind of gross for him to talk that way, and I wanted to get your feedback on it. Is it okay for Joe Biden talking like this?
You got more questions, but I tell you, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, then you ain't black.
You ain't black. Joe Biden gets to decide who's black. How does... Now, it doesn't bother me. I think everybody should be allowed to talk the way they are inclined to talk, no matter how dumb or offensive to some people, because we should celebrate being offended. It's good if people talk honestly. All you do if you beat people up for being honest is you get more dishonesty. Felicia, hi.
Hi, Todd. I am calling in.
Thank you for calling.
Michael's. You're welcome. I'm calling in response to Michael's comments. I just wanted to say a quick thing first about people seeming anxious to get a haircut. I don't think it's so much people anxious to get a haircut as people anxious to allow other people to practice their livelihood in a safe fashion if it's able to be done. People should be able to practice their livelihood, whatever it is, without any infringement on it. So I don't think it's
Agreed.
As simple as people chomping at the bit to get their haircut. But I just wanted to throw out a food for thought. There's other people imprisoned, you might say. I might be stretching it. I've got a dad with dementia and long-term care, and he's in his room all day. And there's not a whole lot going on there. He's avoided the COVID for now, luckily. So there's someone imprisoned due to this COVID. Not
an innocent person is what you're saying.
Yeah. I'm sorry?
Okay. You're saying an innocent person. I appreciate that point. Thank you, Felicia. 860-522-9842. We'll pause briefly, then continue the conversation on WTIC. It is WTIC. Thank you so much for being here today. 860-522-9842. So in Rhode Island, you remember when, you remember the other day when the governor announced that he was pulling the plug on allowing hair salons to reopen? I laugh because it just, it makes me chuckle the randomness with which they do things. And I'm still trying to figure out what it was he was up to when he did this. I'm thinking he wanted to distract maybe from something else that's going on. Maybe the mailing out of absentee ballots to every citizen in the state and the executive order he did on that. I'm not sure, but it seems such a strange thing to do because obviously there's no threat to people's health from hair salons. And he knows that not all hair salons would open on day one and be full, that it would be some spots would be busy, other spots maybe wouldn't, and that they would maintain their social distancing. So I don't get what that decision. I assume there was some ulterior motive to get people upset about something over there so they wouldn't notice what was going on over
what
here.
The hell is going on?
There he is. There is the fearless leader. Here's a story that just made me wonder more about this. This is from Missouri. A hairstylist who worked, this is the headline, a hairstylist who worked while showing symptoms exposed 91 people to coronavirus. Now, that headline caught my eye when I was looking at the Connecticut Post. And that word exposed, it made me jump. What? 91 people caught the COVID virus because a hairstylist went to work while she was infected? Well, no. Nobody got sick. The story is, or should be, the headline should be, it seems to me, nobody reported ill after hairstylist works sick. But they run it the other way. Why do they do that, do you think? Why would you headline it in a way that makes people's heart jumps before they figure out that nothing happened? A hairstylist with coronavirus worked for 8 days this month while symptomatic, exposing as many as 91 customers and coworkers in Missouri. Headline, nobody reported sick. But no, that's not the headline. How come? Don't you think Connecticut, I have these fantasies about Connecticut having a tabloid. Needs a tabloid newspaper so badly, this state. And then you could run stories like this properly. Like on the day that Ned pulled the plug on hair on hair salons opening. If I were the tabloid person doing the front pages and the headlines and stuff, I would have just had a big close-up of Ned's freshly dyed hair. And by the way, perfectly coiffed for a Nedster anyway. And that would have been the feature. And then I would have interviewed different salon owners from around the state on what kind of treatments Ned got. So we could have investigated the thing a little bit. I don't understand this state is so weird in terms of media. I feel like this is the only place where you can come in and get a realistic, honest conversation about what's going on. And the newspapers, there are, as I always say, there's some great columnists in the state, but the newspapers, boy, oh boy, do they like to just be there and not do much more than that. The case highlights the threats of community spread in the United States as businesses reopen after weeks of restrictions. In this instance, the 84 customers 84. That's a different number than we said a minute ago, and that's because it's 84 customers plus a smattering of coworkers. 84 customers exposed got services from the hairstylist at great clips, said Clay Goddard, director of the Springfield Greene County Health Department. In addition to the customers, seven coworkers were also notified of exposure. It's unclear when the stylist tested positive, but the infection is believed to have happened while traveling. The stylist worked from May 12th until Wednesday, health officials said Friday. At that time, businesses such as barbershops and hair salons were allowed to operate in the state of Missouri. So the big story, and I have this conversation about a lot of different viruses. So, well, we'll talk more about it. Time to break for news on WTIC. Yes, it's Saturday. And we're here. WTIC 860-522-9842. I've been planning since I started here over 3 years ago. We just passed our third anniversary last month, the end of last month. So we're into the fourth year. And I've been planning since I started here to introduce a rant line, but have just never pulled it off, but now it's here. I've got a special phone number just to call 24/7 whenever you want. When you've got something on your mind that you want to suggest that we talk about, or you've got a rant you want to do just to get something off your chest that we can share on the air, or on special days we'll have special assignments for things to record. Anyway, make note of the number if you've got a pen handy, because this will be a permanent line, the rant line for this program, 860-751-4698, 860-751-4698. So I've thrown a bunch of stuff on the table here. Michael Leibowitz started us off calling from prison to talk about the shutdown there, the lockdown, and how it's impacting prisoners. And he's curious if anyone cares. And also he was talking about the shower situation and stuff like that. I suspect most people aren't that sympathetic. And then we're talking about a hairdresser who, for several days, 8 days, was it? She was cutting hair while infected with the virus, and 81, maybe it was 11 days, 84 customers were impacted, seven coworkers impacted, as in they were exposed. And one of the things I find curious is just that these exposures don't seem to result in people getting sick. We all go to the grocery store frequently to buy food, busy spots, the grocery stores, we don't get sick. There's no stories about all the people dying because they went to pick up some popsicles. What are your thoughts on this? 860-522-WTIC. Steve in Waterbury, hi.
Hi. I got 2 points to make. I called up with the first one being about the prisons, that I believe that'd be great for a scientist to study, you know, how the virus and whatnot affects everybody, and how it's, you know, transmitted or whatever, and, you know, a lot of people being exposed to it and having it but not having any sickness. And minus younger people, that pretty much would be like a fall on the general population as opposed to like a nursing home. Now, my second point is if people like big government and they want to turn things socialist, this is a pretty good example of what it would be like with all our liberties taken and what we're going through right now. I'll just give you a little flavor of that.
Well, this is, I think we're already a socialist country, even though it's a hard thing to admit. And well, the worst part of the socialism is not the loss of individual liberty so much, but it's the loss of the money. They steal all the money to run their election rigging scams and their control scams, and they leave nothing for us to live our lives with.
But isn't money part of liberty, though?
That's my point, yeah.
Right.
That I think that's worse than, you know, okay, yes, if they were locking in, if they were ordering us to stay in our houses without a premise, then I guess that would be pretty outrageous. But the socialism is a system in which the government gets to decide how the money gets spent and own the resources and dole them out as necessary. And that's pretty cruel right there.
Yeah, we definitely have a lot of socialism going on in the country. There's no doubt about that. All right.
Steve, nice to hear from you. 860-522-9842. Rudy calling from Florida. Hello there, Rudy.
Hey, Todd. Well, one quick question. I want to talk about the prisoner, but it dawned on me because I was listening to another show. This is the first time they've ever so-called quarantined a healthy population versus quarantine a contagious population. It's never happened before in the world.
Wait a sec. Quarantines. When has there been a quarantine? Let's go through some.
Well, the basic stay at home and closing all these businesses is equivalent to a quarantine. But, like, you know, when leprosy broke out, they quarantined them to an island, so to speak. When have you ever had a healthy population locked down because of a vulnerable population getting sick?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I don't know the answer to it. I don't know if this has happened before in so-called free societies.
I just pondered that a couple hours ago. But
it's an interesting question.
Down here in Florida, they didn't release the prisoners. And as far as I know, they didn't change. This is the key to his problem. I don't have any sympathy for prisoners. You get in trouble, you do your time. I've got in trouble in life. I did my punishment.
What if you did your punishment and you're still being punished?
No, but this is my point. They're not letting prisoners out of Florida, and as far as I can tell, they haven't changed the routine. They never should have changed the routine for those inmates. If someone gets sick, they should get isolated. But he shouldn't be locked up 23 hours a day, minus 15 minutes for a phone call and 15 minutes once a week for a shower. They never should have changed their routine. They should have just taken whoever got sick and isolated them. So
in your opinion, they have no obligation to make sure they keep the prisoners healthy?
No, they do have an obligation to keep people healthy. What I'm saying is they never should have restricted their daily movements. They should have left everything status quo. You get sick, you get pulled out. They should have blocked.
But why are you saying that? Are you saying that's healthier?
Obviously. I mean, would you want to be locked up in a cell with someone and not have a shower for 2 weeks? I mean, it's kind of gross.
Whole thing is gross, yes.
I mean, the poor hygiene causes more problems.
Well, that's a good argument. And the depression and as Michael was making that point, he was talking about how volatile the environment was going to become with everybody locked up for that time. And if they have to do it again, the prisoners won't be up for it. So there's another point to what you're saying, Rudy.
I hope they wash their clothes for him or let him wash his clothes, because if he can't get a shower but once every 4 or 5 days, I can't imagine having to lay around in dirty clothes on top of that. I mean, you could rot your toes off with dirty socks for 2 weeks.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that, but good issue. You know, he does say that they wash the clothes, but I don't know how often that happens. Thank you, Rudy, for the call. 860-522-9842. The point about Leibowitz and prisoners, to me, is that, well, there's a couple, but the state is their custodian, and the state has a responsibility taking that task on of locking people up because they're dangerous. They have to feed them. They have to provide medical care. They have to provide a generally healthy environment. So that puts a big responsibility on we the people, because it costs $50,000 a year to provide all these things per person, not total, per prisoner. So I guess I've learned through Leibowitz to be more sympathetic to prisoners, because prisoners are human beings with potential and they will be coming out again. And it's costing us $50,000 a year to keep them locked up, each one. And if you think about the $50,000, think about it, this as an exercise in spending. Don't you want that spending to be done efficiently? Sunshine is next. Hello, Sunshine.
Hello. I watched an interview on Channel 30 that they did with Lamont, like a town hall kind of thing. And the reporter flat out asked him, you know, people were wondering, like, where are you getting your hair done? And there was, like, this complete hesitation. My wife does it. And he's like, your wife? He goes, yeah, she does a really good job.
This is what the governor said?
Yeah, yeah. So it went on record.
His wife, the fancy Wall Street tycoon,
is the one that's completely and solely responsible for his hair. Yeah, it's on you know, 30. If you go on their website, it's on there, and you can listen to the interview with them.
Mike, see if you can find that, all right? That's great. That's great. Can you, and how credible was that to you, Sunshine?
Oh, you've got to be kidding me, please. No way.
Wait, is Annie also doing putting the red goop in his hair to color it?
Must be, because he said she was responsible for his hair and she does a real good job on it.
Wait, maybe there's several women in the house named Annie.
That must be it. Yeah.
Because I can't imagine his fancy Wall Street tycoon wife, who's obviously way smarter and tougher than Ned. I can't imagine her taking out the scissors and holding them that close to him, but not eviscerating him.
It's so true.
All right, but, Sunshine.
Yeah. Well, that's it.
Thank you so much
for
that.
If you want to watch the interview, you know, he was talking about people's mental health, too, on there, how important mental health is.
Well, did he mention Annie's mental health?
No. I'm sure they have separate lives, you know. Separate from mine anyways.
Well, that is the truth. Thank you so much, Sunshine. Great to talk with you. 860-522-9842. Who believes that the governor is cheating on his haircuts? He's not getting them done by his wife, but he's got somebody coming in to do them, or somebody who already lives there. I don't know. Maybe the Lamonts have a staff. Wouldn't you expect them to have a staff? And maybe the staff, maybe they sent her off to get hair cutting lessons. I mean, it's not that hard, is it? Who believes the governor's story that his wife does the haircuts? Oh, it's hard to believe. Hard to believe being in this situation. So anyway, back to this. I love this story about the hairstylist. 84 clients potentially directly exposed, as well as 7 coworkers, because this one woman who tested positive for the virus had been working for several days. And they want us to think that exposed, that's how I read this headline, a hairstylist who worked while showing symptoms exposed 91 people to coronavirus. They want us to fall for misunderstanding that. They want us to walk away from that headline saying, aha, she made 91 people sick. But as far as we know thus far, nobody's gotten sick. And the point I wanted to make about this is how much life we live, even in the midst of the shutdown. That's what I want you to think about. How much life we're living, and we don't get stories about how many people are dying because they went to the grocery store, because they went to the pharmacy to pick up their prescription, because they went to the farm stand, because they went to pick up a pizza. I have heard no stories about how many people are dying from these activities. Have you? Therefore, I'm dubious that this contagion gets passed on in these circumstances. 860-522-9842. We'll pause for a break, and we'll talk more on WTIC.
We'll be right back.
Oh, that's sweet. WTIC on a Saturday. Here for you. I just got a text on the rant line, the new rant line number, 860-751-4698. And I didn't even mention that I would take texts on it. But I just received the first one. And it said, along these lines of what we're discussing, it said, please mention Alabama doubling corona rates because they opened too soon. And this is what I'm talking about, these little snippets of information that people maybe get wrong. Alabama did have more confirmed coronavirus cases in the week leading up to this weekend than in any previous week. But what is a confirmed coronavirus case? A confirmed coronavirus case is a positive test. When testing goes up, you get more positives. And guess what happened to happen in Alabama? There were more people being tested than ever before, and that's how they got the extra positives. Bill in Bristol, hello there.
How's it going today, Todd? Okay, I want to.
Well, it's going better now that you're here.
Okay. Not once during the governor's press conferences does he mention the average age of the person dying from the coronavirus. Now, you mentioned several times a figure of something like 80 to 90% of the people in the state are over 80 that are dying. Is that?
I don't know what the age for the state is. It's been running around 80 to 82% are over the age of 55. And that's been, I think that's the number. I haven't looked up the numbers for a while, but I believe that was the number I was quoting. And that the average age was over 80 of people dying.
And I just heard a figure just within the last day or two, like 60% of the people dying are in the old folks' homes.
Yes, or in nursing homes.
Yeah, so that's, you know, I can't understand why, you know, why these people are getting it. I mean, I just don't know. I'm not an expert on the subject. You know what I mean, Todd? Like, how are these people getting it?
Well, they're in a really easy place to get it because have you been to nursing homes? You know, there's usually a couple of people in a room. There are people walking up and down the halls, going in and out of every room, providing services, bringing meals, bringing drugs, whatever they're doing. And you've got an older population that is probably has weaker immune systems and is more vulnerable to catching it anyway. And then as soon as they're the most vulnerable to die when they do get it. So, this is what's so remarkable about some of the decisions that were made. Go ahead.
So Todd, my point is, you know, a basic thing, you know, why shut down everyone? You know, treat the people like adults. And the people who are vulnerable, you know, stay home and practice that kind of safety. The other people, go about your lives. But so
I think that would have been way smarter.
The governor, Governor Lamont spent $13 million, supposedly, of his own money to be elected governor. He spent $33 million in three elections in the state to get elected. Now, I don't think he spent this money to try to help the people of the state, you know, to better the state, because he just mentioned that he doesn't have the experience. That's why he spent the $2 million for the Boston Consulting Group. So
yes,
he did this so he could, you know, give orders to play king. So he's really, he's getting his money's worth. You know what I'm saying? He never in a million years would have thought that he could give these orders and have everybody obey him. So he, like I said, he's really getting his $13 million worth.
Well, I think in Ned money, you're absolutely right, because this isn't money he had to work to obtain. It was inherited money. So I think there's a lower threshold for him than for others. Bill, thank you for the call. Yeah, I think 68% of the Connecticut deaths are nursing home deaths, but I'll double check that. And it's a remarkable figure. It is. Remarkable. Kathy calling from Manchester. Hi, Kathy.
Hey, hi, Todd. I want to go back to the talking about the prisons real quick. And you said it's true. When you meet someone in prison and you make that connection, you tend to have some compassion for them. And I'm talking again about Richard Lyon, who was a former.
Well, not just compassion, prison. but you also get exposed to the subtleties of what goes on, and it becomes humanized instead of just abstract.
Yes, it does, because you have that personal connection with somebody, and you do see them as a human versus just an inmate or a number. So because that makes a huge difference when you start looking at them as a person, not someone who's subhuman. But just to give you a update on Richard, I know I called back, or I called a month ago, and a couple of points I wanted to bring up. So I contacted all the Texas legislators and Connecticut, both federal and state, to try and get him out due to the COVID pandemic, because things were getting pretty it's not so much the catching the virus, it's what it does to people who are incarcerated psychologically, especially being locked down for almost 2 months in a very small cell with another person and have to do all your bodily functions in that. People get really upset.
Yeah.
So there's a fear of
it's like being a duck in the procession there that people are taking shots at.
Right. And they just, the psychological attitude just begins to get psychotic and people start to react in a different way. So that's what he was nervous about. He wanted us to try and get him out because he wasn't so fearful of the virus, but that he would lose his life through someone's actions. And ironically, the Texas governor called me back. They had a human being in the office. They answered my phone call. They had my email. Senator Corn from Texas wrote me directly, told me exactly what I needed to do. Not one person from Connecticut responded. When I did call his mother, who happened to die 2 weeks ago in a nursing home from COVID, I did not get him out in time.
Kathy, I've got to run.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, just to let people know that, again, there are people who are in there unjustly, and it is a kind of a corrupt system. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. 860-522-9842. News time on WTIC. WTIC, 860-522-9842. So you remember the beginning of the week. What was it, Monday, when Ned announced that he was pulling the plug on hairdressers? You remember one of his arguments was about he wanted to be compatible. He wanted to pursue compatibility, maybe was how he put it, with his fellow states. And Rhode Island had just changed their date.
Two things, like I said before. One, Rhode Island changed their direction. Massachusetts was, coming on board, I think, in about a week. And again, I listened.
He listened. He wants everybody to be working together. He thinks it's just a beautiful thing when the states are making the same decisions at the same time. So he hid behind Gina Raimondo, the governor of Rhode Island, which he likes to do. Anyway, the governor of Rhode Island, let me just read you this. The governor said she is confident that Rhode Island will be ready to move into the second phase of their reopening plan, judging by current trends on a series of health indicators that have not spiked since she lifted the stay-at-home order on May 8th. So where is the governor running to embrace Gina Raimondo and to maintain his compatible procedures and policies with Rhode Island. It was such a moronic thing to say. I mean, what in what way was the state of Connecticut positively influenced by Ned deciding that he was going to be in alignment? But here's the beautiful part of it. As with so many lies that politicians tell, or any liars tell, the lies don't necessarily hold up over time if you want to be consistent. For example, Gina Raimondo decided that restaurants can open completely on June 1st. She announced this, I think, yesterday or the day before. Rhode Island restaurants can open on June 1st. So where is Ned? Is he calling a special press conference, emergency press conference today, to announce that in order that he can maintain his comparable policies to his fellow governors, that he's adjusting and going to open Connecticut restaurants? Which, again, there's another crazy thing. It's just crazy. It's crazy for there to be a failure to open restaurants and to say you want to watch and see what happens with outdoor dining. Like, what could happen with outdoor dining? What could happen with outdoor dining that would make everybody realize, oh, this was a really bad idea? There's no way we can survive having people sitting outside eating. By the way, another thing is the takeout. You know, restaurants have been open serving takeout. How many people have died that you've heard about? I'm adding to the list because we talked before about grocery stores. How many people have died? How big has the wave of deaths been, I should say, from people going to the grocery store several times a week, twice a week, once a week, whatever you do? How many times do you go to a store a week during this period of time? I would wager that the average household with one or two people in it is going at least twice a week to the store, and maybe three or four times. Because one of the things is that there's not that much to do these days. So there's a much bigger focus. Much bigger focus on cooking. Haven't you noticed on trash day how much more trash people are putting out? 860-522-9842. How often are you going shopping? I also have another question I'll throw out that's on my list to see if we can get you stimulated to call here. Because Saturdays and this time of year, it's getting to be that time of year where the weather invites you outside, so the caller volume drops. But I would like to hear your fantasy about the way you want to celebrate the end of this. When we are done with this nonsense once and for all, what's your fantasy about the way to celebrate? Let's say the government, the federal government, which has a responsibility to pay for everything because it can. It can just pay for everything. It has endless amounts of money. It can never run out. Money grows on trees for the federal government. And if it's a bad time of the year and the leaves aren't falling, then you can just print more money. And so if you have a compassionate federal government, which we all want, it should be spreading the love all the time. So if there's an unlimited budget for Americans to celebrate the end of the virus and the end of the lockdowns and the end of the emergencies, put together your celebratory thing, whatever it is, that thing you love to, the restaurant you love to go to, the store you want to go, the car. What car would you go and buy to celebrate? I just want to hear a fantasy. Okay, I'll put it in the terms of the magic wand. Everybody loves magic wand topics, and we haven't done one in a long time. The federal government, it's still the federal government because they're the ones with the magic wand. The federal government waves its magic wand and makes any wish true for you. What would it be to celebrate the end of the COVID virus? 860-522-9842. Because that will be a beautiful day. But I have to say, I don't, I'm not, you know, when you're working in a time when people are being laid off, when you are doing fine economically while other people are struggling, that right there is plenty of reason to be happy. So I think, I don't know, maybe I'm just, I come from another era. I have these kind of old-fashioned American values that are no longer, well, largely not practiced anymore, and that is that you feel blessed for what you have. And I feel like we have so much in this country. I feel like we are so lucky. Life is so abundant. Life is so generous. Even when you're struggling through bad times, this is a good country to do it in. So I feel like, hey, I get to go to work and I get paid money to talk with you every day. And that's just a beautiful thing. Not just a beautiful thing because it's easy, but because it's fun. I find joy in it. And I like talking to you. To be able to talk with people and communicate and share ideas, it's just such a privilege. Like, what do I have to complain about? So I'm locked in the house largely. So what? I can deal with that. Everything else is coming up roses. Bob in Torrington. Hi, Bob.
Hey, how are you? I tell you what we're going to do is when everything is all done and everything is all said and done, we're going to everybody's going to celebrate with a case of Corona beer.
A Corona. Are they going to come out with a virus model beer? That would be good, wouldn't it?
Kind of something on the TV with slicing the lime properly, taking care of it correctly, and politically correct, because we'll have to still social distance and everything. But everybody good cheers a Corona beer with a lime in the top.
Do you think that the lime will kill the virus?
Absolutely not. Did the worm ever kill the tequila?
Well, that's a good point. Wow, you are good on your feet, Robert. That wasn't bad at all.
Let me just bring something else, if I can do this, if I have enough time to say this.
Sure.
The issue I have right now is that we were the last state to open up in a nation. We are also, the state of Connecticut, in a very, very strong deficit issue. The other thing I've understood is that a lot of the states, as they can go to the federal government and say, we have suffered debilitation in our economy and everything due to the coronavirus. Therefore, they're going to be able to get possibly a little bit more compensation from the feds because we've suffered so badly. My question is Lamont stretching this thing out long enough so that he can also get as much money as he can get from the feds? Because the state of Connecticut is such a deficit, and he will apply that monies that he can get towards the deficit.
Well, so there's really three different questions there. The first part, I don't think is right, what you said. It's not some states can do this and some states can't. The Democrats are pushing for an extra $3 trillion bailout right now. I'm sure you've heard about that. And they want a trillion of that to be money to give to the states. Any money for the states that came in the first bailout was structured in such a way as to help pay for specific COVID-related costs on a shared basis, on an 80-20 basis or something like that. But what they're looking for...
Or does that go into the general fund?
No, that just helps pay the bills for against actual bills that have been paid. So if it costs $100 million to do testing, for example, the federal government might kick in money for that. But that's different from what they... Yeah, but that's different from what they want to do now. What they want to do now is to help pay for the economic damage done to the states because of the virus. And that would just be cash. Do what you want with it because you've been hurt. And that's so the danger of the hang on a sec. So if Connecticut's in the hole $1 billion this fiscal year, which ends, by the way, in 5 weeks. Already in the hole $1 billion, and then they're talking $2 to $3 billion for the next fiscal year. that's then you can go back and you, so you get your billion for this year. But what's your most urgent problem? Your most urgent problem is you're running these big debts to the unions because
okay.
they're,
well,
you know, it's unaffordable.
Issue right there. I don't understand that part there.
Well, no, that's the same issue you were really just asking about, which is can they apply this? They can do whatever they want with this money. The
well,
point
that's
is the,
well, that, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
If
well,
we
the, and then
out,
that,
if Lamont holds out as long as he can, and because we have suffered a longer period of time, I was under the assumption that the feds would give us or help us out a little bit more with compensation.
There is no plan in place that would make what you're saying true, and yet I believe that what you're saying is true, that the reason Ned and other governors are following this formula to drag this thing out for as long as possible, which they're clearly trying to do, is to be able to justify going back to the government and saying, give us more, and to be able to assist Nancy Pelosi in her negotiations in Washington to get more money out of the feds. In my opinion, there should be zero going to any of the states because of the virus. States are supposed to be able to take care of themselves. And I think the money that's already been offered and paid was a mistake. Thank you, Bob, for the call. Quick break. We'll take more calls coming up on WTIC. Whoa. It's WTIC. Thanks for being here. Yes, the new private phone number, just for listeners to the show, 860-751-4698. And you can leave a message for me. You can do a rant for me to play on the air. You can even text me, as a lot of people have started to do already. It's kind of funny because I didn't mention texting, but I guess that's where the immediate interest is. But my real goal for the new rant line is for you to be able to do rants. A lot of people say they don't like calling up with everybody listening, or they're, you know, they're listening during the show, but they're not free to call. So I thought we could collect people's input 24/7. Whenever you get an inspiration, 2 a.m, go down the basement, dial up the 751-4698 number and just scream at the phone. And then maybe we'll play it on the air for you. That's the idea. 860-522-WTIC. Joe calling from New Hampshire. Hey, Joe.
Hi, Todd. Hey, it's been 3 years you've been on the air. Wow. You just mentioned that.
Time flies, doesn't it?
Yeah, remember, I was your very first caller to welcome you to Hartford.
I thought you were the first.
I was the first.
Thank
I wanted to make sure I was the first. I
thank
was still in
thank
Connecticut.
Thank you for being
then.
Hospitable.
Yeah,
oh,
I was
you
still in Connecticut then. I was hoping for a reversal in the election in 18, but it didn't happen. But anyway, I'm
well, will you move back when the reversal happens?
Oh, I'd strongly consider it, but I love it up here in New Hampshire. I mean, you talk about quarantine. I'm in an ultimate quarantine situation with my property all fenced in. I'm about 5 miles from Massachusetts border and about 5 or 6 mm-hmm. miles from the Vermont border, Connecticut River. But it's a... the quarantine setup. I'm very healthy, but the reason
beautiful
I'm
country
calling,
too.
Yeah,
yes, sir.
Are you, you're doing fine. I'm glad to hear that.
Thank you.
The reason why I'm calling for at least a couple of weeks now. Are you aware of the Sotheby's auction in New York City to raise money for charities to help the people victimized by the virus? And one of their it's to do with getting to meet or talk to celebrities, high profile people. That's the auction. And one of the auction bids is coffee with Hillary Clinton. Now,
wow, I did not hear about that.
Yeah, initially, it was on television over a week ago.
Yeah, who watches TV? Come on. Why
well,
watch TV when there's radio, Joe?
I looked it up on the Internet. It's on the Internet. Sotheby's auction.
No, I believe you. I'm not
Hillary.
Challenging you. I believe you.
Yeah, so... here's the thing. Initially, it was supposed to be meet her in the Hamptons for 15 minutes. I'm sure she would have people with her. But now because of the virus, it's going to be like a Skype. You know, it'd be more like a radio with a television screen interview. But I'm thinking If you want to get in on the bidding and have the audience back you up and maybe the station, if you win the bid, you would actually have a 15-minute interview with Hillary Clinton on your radio show. How's that?
It's not worth it. There's not. Yeah, but there's nothing Hillary has to say that anybody would want to hear. Like, what would she say?
Well, you would think up the appropriate questions. You might even tip her hand as to whether she's going to try to be the nominee come August. They moved it up to August. And I think she has a shot.
Well, she may feel that way, but I think everybody else is smarter than that.
Yeah, well, you know, Biden has dementia. I told you that over a year ago. I took care of my elderly mom for 12 years, and it's a slow decline, the dementia. And he's in about the fourth inning now. He's worse than last year.
Oh, no. He ain't got no dementia. That was a joke.
Well, everyone that's with him, you know, around him knows this. And they have other plans, I'm sure, which we'll find out about in August.
I can't wait. It would be fun to interview Hillary, but I wouldn't want to do it over Skype. I'd want to be right there with her so I could, you know, sort of drill down on the follow-up questions, you know, be very precise and force her to answer.
If you look up the website, Sotheby's Auction, they have all the celebrities listed, you know, with a background of what it involves, what you're bidding on. But I'm sure if you went on the internet, you probably could find out. I mean, maybe if they lift the ban in New York by the time, I guess this is going to be a June type of meeting. I think the auction goes through next Friday.
I'll check it out. I'll see what we can find out. If you want to kick in some money, I'll make you the first. I'll give you the first dibs on doing the first dollar. You know how stores, when they open, hang up the first dollar? You can... You can be the first donation to help us get Hillary to have coffee.
Governor, a lot of people have told us online and around the community, it looks like perhaps you've gotten your hair cut since this crisis has started. If so, can you tell us who your barber is? Is it somebody we know, maybe even in the family?
Annie Lamont takes good care of me.
Yeah, we didn't have, that wasn't the question, Ned. Question was, who cut the hair? Ned has a tell. You know how people have tells? That's what gamblers look at to find out when you're, you know, they can see the little expression in your face when you're doing a bluff or something. They can tell when you're excited. Ned pauses when he's about to tell a lie, when he's been asked a question that he's not sure how to answer or in which he has to lie. He pauses. Listen to this pause.
You've gotten your hair cut since this crisis has started. If so, can you tell us who your barber is? Is it somebody we know, maybe even in the family?
Annie Lamont takes good care of me.
That was 3 seconds. Well, maybe that's unfair. Maybe that was connectivity. But I prefer to assume it's got to do with something nefarious. 860-522-9842. We'll take more phone calls coming up. Magic wand, what would you do if the government offered you a magic wand to wave and take yourself anywhere, do anything, buy anything to celebrate the end of this thing when it comes? Stay with us on WTIC. WTIC, thank you so much for tuning in, hanging out, talking to us. That's what it's all about. Sharing ideas, conversation. What was the story? There was something I just wanted to tell you. Oh, it was about New York. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo said today the state's single-day death toll from the coronavirus fell below 100 for the first time in weeks. 84 people died from the virus in New York yesterday. He said down from 109 the day before. 84 is still a tragedy, no doubt, he said, but the fact that it's down so low as it is really overall good news. At the height, the single-day COVID-19 death in New York was close to 800 for several days in a row back in April. New York City, the epicenter of the state's outbreak, hit its peak April 7th when nearly 600 people died in a single day. So the state now down to a little over 100. So things are, no, You're right. What was the number? 109 the day before, but 84 people died on Friday. So it's that's the way this thing is going. That's the direction the virus is going in. The other thing that I just wanted to mention, and then if we have any phone calls, we can take some. 860-522-9842. The other thing he announced is that certain counties would be able to begin opening. And this is one of those things about Connecticut that's just inexplicable, that the counties that have been undamaged for the most part, comparably, like Windham County, that they're not treated differently. Why is that? 860-522-9842, Bob in Hartford. Hi.
How you doing? I have a Corona wish that no
yes.
one will ever vote Democrat again.
Well, that's a pretty... I was thinking more like, you know, you want someone to bake you a blueberry pie or take you out to dinner at your favorite restaurant. But that's such an honorable wish. That is such a glorious wish. Can you imagine what a beautiful advancement for mankind? That would be one giant leap for mankind.
I just don't understand why people keep drinking the Kool-Aid.
Well, because once you've drunk it, it has a permanent effect on you. It releases hormones in the brain, and you're addicted.
I have a business I want to start. I want to make paper cups for Kool-Aid.
I think maybe they want champagne glasses.
Well, I just
it's a lot of money
that,
flowing, Bob.
Republicans control the United States House soon.
Well, how about taking over everything? I like that idea. Not winning every election. We don't have to be greedy. But how about just that Republicans control everything? Don't forget, though, that we're going to have to go to war with the Republicans as soon as they control things, or where they do control things, because they don't do the right thing either. I mean, look at the lack of Republican response in the General Assembly. It's mind-boggling to me that they don't bother. This is such a huge opportunity for Republicans, and they're too scared to notice it. They're in trepidation. Oh, we might get hurt. I don't want to stick my neck out. Let me see where the virus goes, then I'll follow it. Well, no, if you want to get the big wins, you got to roll the dice. Louise in New Britain. Hello, Louise.
Hi. Kind of been off listening off and on, but you wanted to know how we're celebrating? Can I tell you? I'm celebrating.
Sure.
You there?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Well, first, a couple of days ago, we bought a new, in quotes, vehicle, a Jeep Liberty, to replace a 2005, to replace our 1998 or whatever, 260,000 mile Ford truck. So,
well, congratulations on the new vehicle.
Thank you. It's great, and it's my birthday today. And the biggest thing is we, after a very big disappointment, but my nephew, who's also my godchild in Scranton, Pennsylvania, became a deacon today on his way to becoming a priest. And we watched
wow.
it on. All we could do was do that, but it was a godsend to watch it on YouTube live.
Well, congratulations. You know? Yeah, what a wonderful thing.
Yes. So
that is one of the happy things about this period, is that there is that ability to stay connected to each other. You know, those video things, or to be able to have dinner together on a FaceTime.
Oh, right.
Or,
here we couldn't. There were like 10 people in the whole big, beautiful cathedral there in Scranton.
Yeah.
So his mother behind him, and about 5 priests and a deacon and a couple of readers and a singer, and most of them with masks. It was very weird, but... that's what we're looking forward to, going back to church, but at least we were there in spirit with him, so I'm thanking God for that.
Well, congratulations on having such a wonderful event. I wish you could have been there with him.
Thank you.
All right, thank you for the call, Louise. Good to hear from you, and congratulations on the brand-new 15-year-old Jeep. It's always an exciting, and there's nothing wrong with it. It's a glorious thing to buy used vehicles, isn't it? Dave is in Brantford. Hello, Dave.
Hey, Todd. How you doing? Happy Memorial Day. Well,
same to you.
The weekend. I have a rant, a brief rant. If I hear the term social distancing again, I'll scream. And there's all the modifiers. We have to respect social distancing, maintain social distancing, practice social distancing. Restaurants have to provide social distancing. I watched the Channel 8 news last night. I think they must have used that term like 60 times in 1 hour. And it's almost meaningless. It's such government speak, isn't it?
Well, but I love your modifiers more than the term itself. I mean, the idea that restaurants could have it on the menu. I'll take a side of distancing, please.
The word separate is pretty good, you know, arm's length. But no, we have to social distance. The other thing that happened this week I think is kind of funny. One of the federal government's doctors was talking about playing tennis. Did you hear that rant on Rush?
I did not, no.
The doctor was mentioning, in case somebody, another player's ball goes into your court, don't touch the other player's ball. And so she was saying, so you don't misconstrue whose is whose, you're supposed to put a mark with a Sharpie on it. Todd, you know, if you play tennis, and I do, you know whether you've got the Penn 7 or the Dunlop 2s. Players know which ones belong to them. You don't need some dumb federal doctor telling you to put a Sharpie mark so you don't pick up. And can you imagine when you're chasing a ball into the alley and you invade someone's social distance? Oh, my goodness. Call the
cops. That would be big trouble. But if you just took a magic marker, though, and wrote COVID on your tennis balls, it would probably be a good idea to keep other people from handling them.
COVID contaminated.
Exactly.
Leave me alone. Happy weekend, sir.
That's great, Dave. Thank you so much. Yeah, that's good. That's good stuff. Tennis balls, beware. Yeah, everybody, the pundit class is searching constantly for ways to out concern and out sympathize and out empathize everybody else. They just want to be more concerned and to think of the one area to warn you of a potential hazard, of a guaranteed hazard that you haven't thought of. Isn't it interesting, though, that, I mean, I'm sure we're just going to spend years picking this apart and figuring out why we managed to get so many things wrong. You heard a couple days ago the CDC announced that it actually doesn't communicate very well, this virus, off of surfaces, so not to sweat the surfaces. After all these months of people taking their new electronics and that come via Amazon and running them up to the shower so they can scrub them down before they touch the box. And now they tell us, oh, it doesn't communicate off of surfaces that well. You get it from somebody sneezing a little tiny droplet of something or other. Which, by the way, the message of this, of us breathing all these droplets in from each other, I just find fascinating. We are meant to be, I conclude from this, no professional, no expert said this, I'm just saying it, layperson pulling it out of my pocket, this idea. But I was thinking about this when they were talking about how the droplets, when just in normal speech, if somebody's talking to you, there are droplets of saliva hanging in the air for between 8 and 14 seconds. One other thing I don't understand is why they say from 8 to 14 seconds. Why don't they just say for an average of? But neither way, either way, it's the same difference. Those particles are hanging in the air for you to breathe for 8 to 14 seconds, which means it's part of the genetic plan of our survival, because we came of age as a species in this environment, in the biology of us, in the biology of the planet. We are meant to be inhaling those droplets. People get horrified. Oh, you're going to speak to me and there'll be droplets. Well, they're supposed to be. That's what keeps you healthy. Yes, breathing in the saliva of other people keeps you healthy. That's my theory. Agree or disagree? David, hi. Yes, David. David dozed off, or perhaps he's picking up tennis balls, trying to make sure he gets the right ones. Let's try Pete in Middletown. Hi, Pete.
Hi, Todd. How you doing? Are you aware of insurance companies giving rebates because of less driving?
Yes, I got a check in the mail for $27, which I consider a nuisance. Like, what am I going to go over to the bank and expose myself to potential viral exposure?
Only $27? I received an email from my company stating it's averaging $100-something per customer.
Yeah, well, that's why they sent you an email. They didn't they sent me a check, so.
Also, has anyone brought this up yet? Why are we being charged with our cable providers, the regional sports fees on our bills when there's no sports being played for the last 2 or 3 months?
Nobody rebates anything, though, do they? Has anybody gotten a rebate from their kids' college when the kids got thrown off campus during the last semester?
And how do you know when a politician's lying?
How do we know?
Their lips are moving.
Oh, I thought you had a new one.
That's what
yes, their lips are usually moving, and they are usually lying. Thank you for that, Pete. 860-522-WTIC. It's true, though. That's not just a wise remark. I think maybe in the past it used to be a wise remark. But really, everything is an artificial construct now. I've still got it hanging in my head what Ned said the other day, how in the middle of his normal lament about, oh, this is just so big and dangerous, and we are focusing all of our energies on public health. That's all we care about is public health. And then he went off on this little rant saying, of course, this isn't just about public health. As we've been saying from the start, it's about finding a balance between public health and the economy. And we're watching both very seriously. And then he spent the rest of the press conference talking about public health. And so those little lies that are hard to notice like that, subtle little lies that are really big lies, because they're meant to trick you. They're telling you something out of the mouth of somebody by default who you respect just because of the title. You know nothing about the man, but you respect the title, you respect the office. So if Ned says something, you're inclined to believe it. If he tells you something that's a blatant lie, but it's doesn't sound like the kind of thing you'd even bother lying about, it's important to him to tell that lie because he doesn't want you to think that he was just focused on public health at the moment when public health is no longer the priority, which is coming soon, when the economy is going to be the priority. 860-522-9842. Let us grab a break and continue on WTIC. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's WTIC. It is Saturday. It is glorious to be alive. It is. And to live in the greatest nation in the history of mankind. Kevin in Hartford, hi.
Hey, Todd. So you talk about Ned transitioning from the whole public health conversation to the economy. And I think we can all take a big sigh of relief the fact that we have a businessman, Ned Lamont, in Hartford now. I'm just curious what kind of ideas he's going to have to really help spark the economy that's really going to get this state moving again, you know?
What's your theory? Do you have a prediction for what he's going to suggest?
Well, I'm assuming that there's going to be a lot of infrastructure, which is really going to really help those union jobs. There's going to be a
for
lot
our
of
our friends.
The thing is that they're going to need a lot of money to do this, so we're going to have to all chip in. So we're going to have to increase some taxes here and there.
Yeah, in other words, it'll be the same old, same old. And he will be talking about infrastructure, and he will be talking. But he'll have more meaningless platitudes before he gets I mean, that's his real.
Thankfully, we have a businessman, Ned, in the governor's office.
There you go. A businessman. Yeah, it is a very reassuring thing, isn't it?
It really is.
Kevin, thank you. Good to hear from you. Have a great weekend. Well, that's Ned. What the response? I think his actual response will be, "Hey, you know, let's go out to eat. Go out to your favorite restaurant and give that waitress a little something extra. Jill in Windsor.
Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to mention, if you have a vehicle registered in Connecticut, they imposed another tax on you and on your car registration because it was to allow you to attend any state parks in Connecticut, and that is being restricted. So I demand Governor Lamont return that tax to everybody who has a car registered in Connecticut.
Oh, yeah. The park parking fees should come back. Yeah.
Right. And then they only have four state parks open. Those were the beach ones at the Sound. They don't have anything else open, no lakes, no other parks. So we We should demand our money back.
Well, go ahead. Demand it.
I am. And I'm filing complaints with my state representative, Jane Garraby. Where is she? Sleeping on the job, paid public servant. And same thing
have
with...
Have you called her office, sent an email?
Not yet, but I'll be sending emails this weekend along to Douglas McCrory because he never responds to my emails or my phone calls. So we'll be complaining loudly. And I've texted many family and friends, and they're very angry with what's going on with the state with Governor Lamont. So we look forward to our next election. I look forward to getting out of the house, going to Home Goods, Marshall's, TJ Maxx, and dinner with people. And then we really look forward to campaigning for our next election. We're going to turn the corner. We're going to turn it.
I love the way you sound, Jill.
And you know what? I want to tell you one other thing. I can't begin to tell you how angry these hospitals are, physicians, nurses. They've got everybody to worry about now. They do not like what they've done to them, not to mention all the small businesses. No one's happy.
All right, Jill, keep us posted on your action against the failed elected representatives of the people. Sasha from South Windsor says she got a refund. Did you?
I did.
Tell us about it.
My daughter just graduated from George Washington University last Saturday. And
congratulations.
Thank you. We're proud of her. But she did have to come home March 15th. And within 2 weeks, I received a refund for room and board.
Wow. That's
great. For the remaining semester. Yeah. So
that is the first school I've heard of doing that. That's wonderful.
Yeah, it wasn't for tuition, but room and board was a big chunk, so.
Yep. Well, it's still real money.
Yeah, exactly.
Sasha, good to hear from you. Thank you so much. Enjoy your weekend. Bill in Rocky Hill. Hi, Bill.
Hey, how you doing? I just want to say, yesterday afternoon, a bunch of doctors released reports that if you stay at home too long in confinement, it's bad for your mental health. It's bad for everything.
Physical health, yes, then? for your defenses against disease.
Right. Well, it was just like yesterday afternoon, like late in the afternoon before a long weekend, and all of a sudden, now all the doctors saying it's really bad if you stay at home all the time. So what's going on?
Well, it's pushback from doctors who don't like the one-sidedness. But our immune systems are energized by the fight. And if they don't, like any other muscle, if they're not being exercised, then they don't get the chance to resist.
I just hope, people just start pushing back. It's enough.
I think that's the moment we're at. Thank you, sir. Good to talk with you. Mark in West Hartford. What's up, Mark?
Well, I was going to go a week without calling you, but somebody brought up Doug McCrory. Do you remember I told you about this bird? He borrowed $250,000 to put a bronze statue up of a great man called Doc Hurley. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Last year, they planted it right in the middle. This guy, so if you're looking for him to, like, give back money, he's looking for more money to do stupid things like that. He planted a bronze statue in Keene Park in honor of a great man who had all his funds squandered by his daughter, $1 million. He used to send the younger privileged kids in the inner cities across the state to college. His daughter got a hold of the fund and ran it into the ground. $1 million she squandered. And then he doesn't take $250,000 to rebuild the fund. He takes $250,000 from the state, and he puts a bronze statue of this great man. You can't make it up. This state is so broken. You got it made here, Todd.
It is the place to be doing talk radio. You're right about that. I'm sorry I can't take any more calls. That's it for today. I can take Patrick. Okay, I'll go to Patrick. Hi, Patrick.
Todd, good afternoon. The first rant has got to be by you explaining why you hate people say, Todd, how you doing? Because it still drives me nuts. 3 years later, people still say it.
Isn't it amazing? It's a tough habit to break.
It's incredible.
I want you, everybody, be off and running with what they want to say. I will do a rant. That's a great idea, Patrick. Thank you. Okay, news time, WTIC.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.